millions and millions of times over, we are grateful to Allah. This is His karam, His grace, His generosity, that a person incapable like myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given me the will and ability to come to this gathering, such a gathering. And in this gathering, there are respected scholars present, there are pious and upright people present, and I pray that Allah, please forgive all of us. Allah, the deficiencies that are within us, the defects, the issues, please give us the tawfiq, the ability to correct them. Our pious elders have stated that insan, the human being, always, at all times, in every moment, he should be concerned about himself. Now, what does this mean in reality? Concerned. We are all musafir, we are all journeymen, we are all on a journey. And as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in a blessed hadith, the musafir, he's on a journey. The musafir is a journeyman. He's traveling. A traveler is on a journey. And the first thing a person does when he's about to embark on a journey, he thinks, he pre-plans. He thinks about his luggage, his belongings. So he puts his luggage together, packs his bags. What am I going to take with me? He puts it into the suitcase or the rucksack or whatever. And then he continues the journey from there. Because it's a long journey, I don't want things to get lost. And then he protects his luggage. He might put a padlock on the suitcase. Lock it. Combination lock. And we all travelers, aren't we? And the meaning of a traveler is what? It's the same. Similar. Similar traits, similar qualities, and two things we need to do, and we probably already are doing, is that according to the style of a traveler, what we need to do is that we need to put together, gather our belongings together, and pack our belongings or save them up, and we need to protect them. We need to protect them because this is the luggage for our hereafter, and it's very valuable luggage. Very, very valuable belongings that will give us success. This is azim, great wealth. And that is iman. The wealth and the luggage of belief. So to protect our belief, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. So how should we do that? What should we do? Because until we get to the hereafter, if this luggage of iman, it travels with us, then alhamdulillah, paradise will be waiting. Paradise will be waiting. But may Allah not allow, obviously, when a person protects his luggage, then what does he do? What does he do? There may be thieves, there are thieves, big thieves, small thieves, minor thieves, petty thieves. Our Hazrat said, my Shaykh said, there are different types of thieves. One thief is such, he's a minor thief, petty thief. And he comes quickly, he sees a little something valuable, a little bit of money lying around, he gets, grabs the money and runs off. Petty thief. He's committed theft, but it's a petty thief, petty. Then there's a thief, he steals the money. On top of that, he saw some gold and more sort of cash, he gathered that together, so he's a bigger thief. Then there's another thief, the third thief, he comes, he puts everything together, puts the cash together, puts the belongings together, and he beats the people of the house folk, so he's a bigger criminal, a bigger thief. And then there's another thief, he doesn't just beat the household members, but after going, he sets the house on fire to eliminate all of the proof. So he is the biggest criminal of all of them, out of the four. Allah Ta'ala stated in the Qur'an Hakim that all these thieves that we've just discussed and commentated or defined, they're nothing. They're nothing. Aduwwum mubin, Allah says there's a bigger thief than that. The biggest criminal, big thief, big bandit, big criminal. Big criminal. And who's that? What will he steal? What will he steal? Remember, he won't just steal our belongings or our house. He won't pester our children. He won't put anything into difficulty in your life. He's a bigger thief than that. He'll do the biggest act of theft. He won't take your shop, business, money, wealth. No, rather he will attack the iman, the belief. He will diminish, destroy the iman of a human being. Who is that? Shaitan, the devil. So if we are awake, we have knowledge, awareness, we know about the hereafter, my friends, then no evening, no morning, no day, rather no moment, second should pass that we are not protecting this valuable luggage and treasure, that we don't padlock it, that we don't seal it. That has my luggage been stolen? Has it been taken away? Has a bit of it been gone, grabbed? Iman, to see Iman, have we got Iman or not? There are two balances that we need to look. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. If in our lives, if we have got the orders of Allah and we've got the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, present in our lives, and consider that we have protected our luggage for thereafter and we are successful. Successful. Why? Because shaitan, the devil, he loots the treasures in a very weird, in sophisticated ways and techniques. He doesn't directly loot. Rather, he has such a strong and sophisticated weapon. Allah has given him strength, power. He's got the tools. And these tools of shaitan are not manufactured in factories. What is it he's got? What techniques does he have? He injects the waswasa, the whispers into the heart and the mind, thoughts, you know, like evil thoughts. He puts them into a person's mind, into his body. He travels like blood in the veins, through the arteries. And if I define waswasa to you, then it'll be easier for you to understand what is a waswasa. He gives the human being planning. What's a waswasa? Planning. He plans. He puts plans into people's minds. Plans and schedules. Okay, let's loot his money. Let me eat his money. Oh, no one's going to ask. Do this and... oh, this is haram, do this, leave salah, it's not necessary. And he'll take you into a reverse gear. This is too hard, you can't do this, how can this be? And he'll give you proof and determination for the wrong actions. And you know, the person, the more he's taking that person to darkness and loss, the more dalils and proofs will go. And he doesn't just give you the thoughts that you'll get a special for if you're old or young, whatever. No, every human being is affected by shaitan. He daily does his work. He will not leave any human being free until he gets to the grave, and he'll inject thoughts into our minds and destroy our lives. That somehow I need this person to die without iman. And that's the main thing I'm telling you today, that in our life, this is the key point. The key point we need to understand. And the same way, we have to repeat and repeat that us people are extremely ignorant with regards to this issue, this point of shaitan, his waswasa, his influence in our lives. We have no figure. Rather, if we have an enemy, despite the fact that we're so cautious and careful, and Allah has told us clearly, he's not just your enemy, he's the biggest enemy. He's doing the work with me, with you, with every Muslim, with every human being, shaitan. And especially with the people of Iman, he's working hardest with the people of Iman. Doesn't matter what you are, what level of Iman you have, whatever maqam you have, whatever station of deen you are in, no one's free from shaitan. Shaitan never lets anybody off. Doesn't matter what he or she is doing in the Islamic world. He has the formulas, the methods, the techniques to take everybody off track. He'll mix you. He'll contaminate you. His waswasa, his injection of thoughts, his planning is so advanced. If somebody prays salah, then he'll spoil that person's salah. Prayer. If a person doesn't pray salah, then he won't let you come towards salah. If you start to pray salah, then he'll spoil your namaz. He'll put raya and showing off and takabbud and pride in your ibadat. Whatever station of Islam you're in, whatever level you've got status, he'll try his best to put you into reverse gear, contaminate your deeds, and so that when we get to Allah, we have zero beyond zero deeds. That's his work. That's his target. And it's sad to say and see that we accept his invitation and his influence. I'm this, I'm that, I'm a Hazrat Sahib, I'm a Peer, I'm a Sheikh, I am lofty, I'm Mawlana Sahib, I'm a scholar, no one can affect me. And these thoughts are the most dangerous of all. Us, every moment need to think that shaitan, he is with us, he is traveling with us, he is our biggest enemy, his mission is to destroy iman, he doesn't want us to leave the world with iman, he'll use all formulas and techniques and use all tools, and he will not leave us alone. That is what we need to understand today. He will not leave us alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us, and the pious elders have explained this to us. Look how the Quran began and how it concluded. From which verse Allah Ta'ala started? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. Allah is explaining His glory. He is the Malik, the owner, and He is the owner of the universe. He is in control. Then what does Allah say? Ihdina Siraat al-Mustaqeem. Allah says, we just prayed salah. We recited this surah in salah. We did dua, this dua to Allah. We, after praising Allah, what did we say to Allah? We prayed. We requested Allah, hidina siratul muslim. Allah, please put us on the right path. Help us on this. And please don't bring any thought of shaitan into our life so that we don't lose iman. Anbiya, the Prophet says dua, the Salihin, the Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali. And every Sahabi, every man had this danger, this risk. That we have worked hard, we will need to work hard on going. That's why Allah Ta'ala has revealed a surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the greatest ibadah, salah. We recite this in salah. We have to beg to Allah, we are weak. Allah, please take us onto the right path and give success to our akhir. Subhanallah. So is this a minor thing, tell me? Mission of shaitan, is this a minor? And look at us. Where are we wandering around? Are we not going to die? Don't we need to give a reply to Allah? What will save us? Tell us in the hereafter. Which salah will save us? Which Quran will save us? What? Definitely, definitely. If a person doesn't protect his iman, he will lose out in this game of life. The same game where he's spoiled to us. Speak straightforward, open. I'm sat here for my sake, and that's why I'm sat here. To speak to myself. This majlis, that majlis, this gathering will be successful if we leave something with positivity from this gathering. If we do that, then. Otherwise our sitting will become adab for us in the hereafter. I tell you that now. Gathering together will become adab for us. There will be hisab. We'll be asked about this gathering on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say, I gave you this opportunity before you died. I gathered you in a place where everyone was sat down. And Allah will say, I forgive you all, give you bakshish and give you high grade in Jannah. And I want to give you such a great message that you all correct yourselves. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So that is what we need to conclude from this gathering. Otherwise, I'll be grabbed, you'll be grabbed. Nothing will be beneficial to us. Allah Ta'ala knows. Allah knows very well that my file, how long will it last? When will I die? When will I depart from this world? This person, when will he die? Who's going to get ill? Who's going to have an accident? Everyone's destiny is written, recorded. The future is recorded. Allah's given us a chance here today. This is a chance, an opportunity. Me, you, everyone here is a chance. Nobody, no power, no one has a power that they could reach it today and sit here with their own will and desire. I'm 50 years, nobody called me. Today, Mawlana Sahib, how did he call me? How did he invite us? How? Yes, nobody asked that. This is a Khanqa of ours. He says, well, nobody knows me, nobody knows me from before. And today I was invited, the majmaya, the gathering's been formed. Why? It's not our achievement. I know I'm the same person as before today. I am not useful, useless, without any qualities. How comes everyone, all of you are gathered in front of me today? Allah says, I want that a gathering is formed in my name. And on my name it is formed, and the objective is my dhikr, my remembrance. Because then the objective is Allah's remembrance, then Allah's pleasure comes immediately. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's how Allah Ta'ala has initiated this gathering, has started this gathering. This is not some minor gathering. Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was the gathering, the Sahaba Ikram, the honorable Sahaba companions were sat, this is the meaning of the hadith, they were sat like this in front of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to them, went to them, said, why are you sat? Just like if I said to you, why have you come here today? If I ask you, no, was it for pilau rice or food? No. Or was it to meet a relative? Nobody here knows anyone's relative. This is the case, isn't it? Are we here to eat food, meet relatives? Why have you come? To hear a speech. I don't know how to give a speech. Is there? Did you hear an announcement, an advertisement? A Sheikh ul Hadith come from here in India to give a speech? So why are we here? So the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, why have you sat here? Why are you sat here? What's the objective of the gathering? Just like we are sat here, the Sahaba Ikram, they said, after thinking, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are here for no other reason, we swear by Allah, we've just come here for this reason, that we'll sit down, and just to remember Allah, we'll do dhikr of Allah, and we'll count Allah's ni'mas and gifts, just like we are sat here for this reason, with this purpose. Subhanallah, why is, ask this child, why have you, my son, why have you come here? Tell me, why have you come here? Why? Come on, why are you here? Why have you come to this gathering? He will say, I've come for the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Little child, young child, why have you come? He'll say, I've come for dhikr. No one will say, I came to a speech or to look at Mawlana Sahib. He'll say, I came for dhikr. I came here to... Remember, this is dalil for this point. Alhamdulillah, this hadith that I'm reciting to you, sharing with you, this is dalil that's coming to my heart, that this is the thawab we'll get according to this hadith that we are deserving. We deserve it. Yes, we are here for this reason. The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, asked them, why are you sat? They said, we are sat here for the dhikr of Allah, Prophet of Allah. No other objective. We sat in the corner remembering Allah. We're remembering Allah. Our Lord, so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed words, I swear by Allah, you swear by Allah that you are sat for this reason? That he was surprised on that gathering. Such a great reply that my companions are sat here and doing such a great deed. I swear by Allah, you are sat for this reason. The Sahabah became afraid. Have we done something wrong? We swear by Allah. O Prophet of Allah, we have no other objective. We are sat here solely for the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that, look, I don't worry. I'm not here to scold you or tell you off. I swore by Allah, not for this reason that I was thinking bad about you. I had a doubt why you were sitting. The reason is this, that Jibreel alayhi salam came down from the heavens. Allahu Akbar. Jibreel alayhi salam came down from the heavens. Jibreel alayhi salam came down from the heavens. And he gave me this news, ajeeb news. What? Allahu Akbar. He gave me this news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this moment in time, with amongst his angels, is happy and proud of this jamaat, this gathering of people. So is this not happening with us now? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. How can it be that it's not happening? The same scene is being played out right now. Why has this hadith come? Was this just for the previous gathering generations? Why? Why has this hadith come to my mind today? Why am I reciting this hadith? Why is this being presented to the gathering? Because even today that thawab is present here and today. It's present. It's in existence. Those majalis of the Prophet ﷺ, they were there before. And many, very few are there today. Who knows about dhikr today? There are very few people who, no one does dhikr today. There are thousands of gatherings for other reasons, thousands of stories and activities. But the same hadith applies to this gathering today. And people, they don't understand this. They don't prefer these gatherings. They don't appreciate this gathering. Otherwise the nur, the jewels of the masjid is the dhikr of Allah. The jewel of the masjid, just like the woman never thinks about a life without the jewels, the same way the masajid can never be in existence without the dhikr of Allah. They are never decorated. That masjid in which Allah Ta'ala's name is not being elevated morning and evening, then how can that be a masjid? We'll have to answer for that on the day of judgment. So dhikr, the sahaba said, not that this is dhikr, that's dhikr. This doesn't mean, we don't need definition. Dhikr, dhikr, la ilaha illallah. That is dhikr. The world should listen, the heaven should listen, the earth should listen, the zarrat, the dust particles, the birds, the sparrows, from every corner our voices, everything should hear that these people are sat here and remembering Allah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. This is dhikr, that's dhikr. No. This is dhikr, I do this dhikr, I do that dhikr. This is not the commentary of dhikr. This is not the meaning of dhikr. Dhikr is specific. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, Allah says. You remember me on the earth, la ilallah, I will call you out in the heavens, Allah says, in the skies. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? So my brothers, this is the message that's been given to us, that we are sat here. How many people have padlocked their hearts with iman inside so they are safe from shaitan? If they have not, then how will the iman be protected? There will be pride, envy, showing off, fraud, deception, swearing, gossip mongering, evil mongering. Thousands of diseases. Shaitan has thousands of tools through the wasawis, through his whispering, through his planning. He injects the thoughts into the human being, inside his mind, inside his mind. This plan, this plan, this plan, this wrong, totally. He keeps on injecting the human being, and he keeps on making that person think he's fine. And the biggest sinner, oh, I've done hajj, oh, I've done this deed, oh, I just prayed salah, I pray salah, and we'll consider every sin as a minor. Tell me, backbiting into this day and age, that there's no smaller sin in our eyes today. Backbiting. There's no smaller sin. And according to Allah, there's no bigger sin than backbiting. Ghibat. Is there any sin that has a punishment? That you take your brother and you take his meat and you cook it into kebabs and you eat it, his flesh. Can you imagine that you do that to your brother or people or human beings? No, we can't. Allah says in the Quran, this is what happens when you backbite. That's what we're doing, devouring the flesh of humans. So who will save us from backbiting? Allah forgive, we backbite to this person, X, Y, Z. And why do we do it? Why? Because for this reason that our enemy, Shaitan, he's worked on us. And when we do dua, ahdina siratal mustaqim, we don't pay attention to that dua. Ever. That, what path are we asking Allah for? Siratal mustaqim. What is that path? What path is that? For which we say, Allah show me the straight path. Allah show me the straight path. Allah show me the straight path. And then the final verse, the surah Fatiha that was revealed. Allah Ta'ala has given us a beautiful surah. That how will we be saved? How will we reach to the straight path, the whole Quran? Allah Ta'ala concludes, Allah says, the easy path, the straight path. How will you arrive to the straight path, the easy path? The right path? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ Allah Ta'ala says again, Surah An-Nas, final chapter. The first verse is Surah Fatiha. Oh my Malik, oh my Allah, oh our protector. We're saying the same thing at the end, aren't we? إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ We're saying, aha, we present to Allah our need, that Allah give us the right path. And Allah says, and we say, Allah can only come on that path, the right path, where I've come, or I will come. Allah will come on the path at that time, when this shaitan's waswas is planning, when I'm saved from that somehow, then I'll come to the straight path. Me sharril waswas al khannas. Allah, you are the Malik, you are the Khalik, you are the creator, you are my Rabb, you are the one who will save me. This straight path cannot come to me. That you said in the beginning of the Quran, now the Quran is concluding. I've read the whole Quran, not once, not twice, many times, but I've not understood anything from this Quran. I've not understood Allah. I've lost out. I'm the same monkey, the same ape. I've not taken any misery, the same haram and awful actions, same foolishness. I read the Quran, I close the Quran, this much thawab, thawab, thawab. Where's the thawab? Where's the thawab? Where's the reward of the Quran? Where? The Quran did not come from thawab, alif, lam, mim. It didn't come for this reason. We open the Quran. Most definitely there is thawab, there is a reward. No doubt. But the objective of the Quran is not to read it for getting reward. The Quran wasn't given to us that we read it, get thawab. That's extra bonus. The objective of Quran is what? The message of the Quran. Do amal on the Quranic message. That's the objective of the Quran. Practice on the message of the Quran. So the Quran didn't get revealed so that we count thawab for recitation. All life long we may not be able to read the Quran from beginning to end. Allah will not ask, why didn't you finish the Quran? Why weren't you in Hafidh? Will Allah ask? But Allah will ask this, that the Quranic verses, the message of the Quran, did you practice on it or not? Why not? Will we not be asked, my brothers? Will we not be asked? This is the nur, extra bonus that you practice Quran and you have the Quran in your heart. That's nur. That's great. That's the massive favor of Allah. And this is the biggest tool, source of failure. If Allah gives us Quran in the heart and we are practicing against the Quran, that person is the Pharaoh of his time. He's the Pharaoh of his time. He doesn't know that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. He doesn't know what is the straight path. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. He doesn't know. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't know how to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't know what is obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Still consuming haram. We've got heart in our hearts, we've got Quran. The hafiz of Quran leading tarawih. And his life is against Quran. He's a Pharaoh. What answer will he give to Allah? What answer will he give? So if we see the big status, and we need to be careful, cautious. Allah has given a big maqam of hifz. And Allah Ta'ala says that the grave cannot consume his heart. He will go on the high status. There will be no limit to his success in the world. Allah will say, keep on going high, 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 my servant, and keep on earning Jannah. But he has wasted his Quran. Hafiz sahab, Qari sahab, Falana sahab, this sahab, 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 sahab. Wasted it in the world. End of story. Wasted the opportunity. Why? Why? The reason for this is what? Because wasawis of shaitan, whispering of shaitan. I don't want that after doing hifz I do sin. But the shaitan, he's injecting our hearts. I don't want that after praying tahajjud then I commit sins again. But shaitan is injecting us. I don't want that I go on hajj and after hajj then I consume somebody else's wealth. The shaitan is injecting us. So there's one cure for this. What is that? Yes, we need to think, isn't it? What's the cure? If we want to be saved, my brothers, we can still be saved. So will we do this, brothers? Will we take the cure? The cure? Today we need to do this and depart from it. Otherwise, that's where there's benefit. Otherwise we'll be grabbed again. Otherwise you wouldn't be calling me, would you? You would need some success. Call Hakim. When you call Hakim, then you say, look, I went to the... And they look, if they die without the success, then the doctor will say that he was ill, he didn't call me. And then if he dies without the cure, then there's no success. So if you've called me, do you want success? Put your hands up. Yes? Make a sincere intention. There should be no munafiq hypocrite in his gathering. And if you don't want the cure, the door is open, then leave. This is not a speech. I'm not a speaker, a lecturer. Whoever doesn't want the cure, here's the door from where you came in. You can leave here, depart, and no problem. And for example, Mulana sahab will give a speech in the morning. He knows speech better than me. I've not come here to give a speech. So if you don't have the desire, run away. Go away. That either we are all patients here, and we all want to improve ourselves, correct ourselves. Do you all accept this, brothers? Straightforward. Straightforward. Yes, no one here is successful with your patience and death is on our heads and we need to be saved from the punishments of the grave. We can't be saved because shaitan has controlled us. He owns us. That's it. He's controlled us. He owns us. and he has overwhelmed us, and he's got open free reign in the world, nothing restricting him. In the night he comes, in the day he comes, in the morning he plays with us, in the evening he plays with us, he goes home, he plays with us. And such games he plays with our lives that we cannot imagine. Imagine. Sometimes he puts a phone in our hand, he shows us naked women, naked girls, we've got beards on our faces, we've got imamas on our heads, we've made faces of Muslims, appearances, we've got Quran in our hearts. Oh, it's just the generation. Oh, that's it. We can't help it. That's what happens there. How can we be saved? It's too hard. How can it be we give these answers? How can we give these futile excuses? No generation, modern generation, can affect a woman as long as the Quran is there, and the Quran is there. It is there. As long as Allah Ta'ala's kitab is present in the world, and it is present 100%, it cannot be removed until that time. It is impossible that a mu'min loses out. Go to any country, go to the poles, go to Mars, go to any other planet, go to any part of the world. If the Quran is present, you can be saved from everything. Everything. The Quran, but we don't have the Quran, so how will we practice it? How will we do amal on it? We don't have the Quran in our hearts. So either today we understand that shaitan has grabbed us, we need to be saved from him, and he is the biggest enemy. Aduwwun mubeen. Shaitan. Cursed. Yes, if a thief comes, a bandit comes, if he has rifles, he has tools, and he comes in, we can't be saved. If he attacks, highway robbery, we can't be saved. So shaitan is aduwwun mubeen. He's the worst enemy. How can we be saved from him? We have to put our hands up, surrender. Allah, we can't be saved. That's why Allah says, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Allah has explained how he works, shaitan. Allah, I can't be saved. Allah, help me. Allah says in the Quran, like his reply, fine. You've requested me for help. You've understood your weakness. Now you want to be improved, cured. Allah says, see, you are my servant with iman, and I will take shaitan away from you within seconds. You won't even know where he's going. Say, Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. How can shaitan dare to attack you? You are the servant of Allah. You are the person who believes Allah and His Rasul. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are ahsani taqweem. The greatest form of creation. If you can control shaitan, then you become ahsani taqweem. That you will be walking on the earth and you will be heard in the heavens, in the skies. Allahu Akbar. Does this not happen? How many examples shall I give to you? How many? Dua you will be reciting here on planet earth, and the angels will be saying Ameen for you in the heaven skies. Your status will become elevated suddenly. Suddenly. Wali of Allah are us. Where else will Walis of Allah come from? Tell me. Me, you, all of us were Walis of Allah. That's the difference. The field has been given to us. Where else will Walis of Allah come from? That we have to do this work that Allah has defined to us. What do we need to do? Is we need to control shaitan. Grab him, control him, suppress him. Immediately the whole dunya will open up for you. Be easy to keep a bed, easy for you to pray salah. It'll be easy for you to practice Quran. The tears will come to your eyes. And it'll be easy to fulfill the rights of people. You'll have mercy in your hearts. And that is our genuine objective. We are very soft-hearted, tender-hearted Muslims, very kareem and merciful, and we love others. We're so loving that even if people hit us, then we embrace them with love. Our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this. Never will there be a sword in the hand of a Muslim. Never will there be a gun. Never will he kill anybody. He will embrace the enemy. That's the Muslim. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's our objective. That's what we are. Apart from that, we're nothing. A merciful person is a Muslim. And there are dalil. There are proofs for this. But we don't give that proof today because shaitan is controlling us. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that this is the case. No problem. No problem. You can control shaitan. Allah says, okay, fine. Allah's Quran says this. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكَّرًا كَثِيرًا. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Oh people of Iman, men. Oh people of Iman, women. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Dhikran kathira, do dhikr, do my dhikr, remember me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah's dhikr is such a great, great asset. Remember, Quran is telling us this. Dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah is such that when a person does dhikr, then shaitan becomes water, he becomes like water, he melts. He will leave that place and scarper. Scarpa, there's one action, the name of Allah. Isme that, Allah. Allah is such a name that it eliminates shaitan, it destroys shaitan, he scarpers, he runs away, he escapes from that place. That's the reason why today we are destroyed, we are in loss, we have finished ourselves, we do oppression, we commit oppression, because inside us shaitan has overwhelmed us, because we don't remember Allah, we have left dhikr of Allah. There's one cure, what is that? The dhikr of Allah, that's it. That's it. Start doing dhikr, Allah says. That's it. Remember me. And you'll be cured. Ibn Qayyum rahimahullah, he wrote a kitab, and he wrote more than 100 virtues about the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. The first hadith that he started from, in the fadail of dhikr, the first hadith, what did he write? That the biggest quality of dhikr, the biggest attribute of dhikr, is that it makes shaitan run away, and it makes his power diminish, and he melts, and he becomes weak. Allahu Akbar. That's the first hadith in this kitab of Hazrat Ibn Qayyum, rahimullah, about the virtues of dhikr. It cannot be that shaitan doesn't run away. And then we do wrong actions, we commit wrongs, cannot be. A Muslim can never do this. If we start doing dhikr of Allah, we will never do wrong. Never. So Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr, remember me, remember me. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Do my dhikr, Allah says. And remember this. When you do dhikr, how? But. Not just this. You take a tasbih, rosary bead, 12 beads, 13 beads, 10 beads. Why? Because shaitan, his technique, his strategy is such, he's got the open playing field, that he, even if he gets a second, he'll demote you. He'll reduce your dhikr. He'll reduce what you're doing. Even at that time of death, he'll be sat next to your deathbed. If I get a second to attack this Muslim who's dying, I want to take his man away from him. I want to grab it, loot it, and run away from him. That's how dangerous shaitan is. So when you do dhikr, we don't do dhikr, count 10 beads, 15 beads, 16 beads, 1 bead, I do in the morning, 10 in the evening. No, this is not dhikr. This has a limit. This has a number limit. If you want to oppose shaitan, fight shaitan, then not a second in our life should be devoid of dhikr. Not a second. Then we can be saved. Only then can we be saved. Not even a breath in our lives should pass without dhikr. If we're ghafil, then that is the dangerous breath of our life. And straight away shaitan will attack us at that time. He's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of strength. He's got a lot of power. But Allah's given us protection as well. Subhanallah. So this is what we need to do very carefully. The dhikr that we do will be such a dhikr that continuous, as long as we're breathing and living, dhikr should be continuing in parallel without stopping for a second. That's why Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullah. Allah says, wadhkurullah kathira. Remember me in abundance. And that's why Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullah dhikran kathira. That I give you guarantee that as long as you remember me, shaitan will not come to you. But if you leave my dhikr for a second, for a moment, for a breath's length, Allah says, then your life may change. He may attack you. He'll see the crack. He'll see the doors open and he'll rush inside. Your success can only come if you remember him. Your ibadah won't affect you. Doesn't matter how many Qurans you recite in your heart. Many people, many things they've got. Knowledge. There was a Qari Sahib, alhamdulillah, in the year he would allow 50 students to graduate from the Quran, from his teachings. He was a hafiz, a qari, had Quran, he had everything. And he had all these things present. What does he say? Hazrat, the problem I've got is that shaitan doesn't leave me. He makes me think dirty thoughts, evil whispering in my heart and mind. My thoughts keep going to dirty things. Does this happen or not, brothers? Don't you get thoughts in salah? When you read Quran, don't you get dirty thoughts? No? Don't bad thoughts come into your life, on your mind? Don't you imagine these things? What's the reason for this? The reason is because of shaitan. We don't do dhikr. We don't remember Allah. So we need dhikr every second, every breath of our life. We should be doing dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. Only then can we depart this world successful. If we're not doing dhikr with every breath, then we are in danger every second of our lives. Every second. Remember this. So, yes, what do we say? That a person, doesn't matter what he is, that if we breathe, we don't remember Allah, we don't do his dhikr, then consider that person's lost. He's either greedy for the world, he's busy with a disease and an illness that will take him towards Jahannam hellfire. And he has not got the fikr, the worry for the hereafter. So now what dhikr do we do so that we do it with every breath? Very easy. Allah's great mercy. Look, the more something looks difficult and the more desperate something is for our lives essential with regards to the hereafter, the more important an action is for the hereafter, the easier Allah makes it for us to do in this world on planet Earth. That's how easy Allah makes it for us. So now we, all of us today, we need to become dhakirs, students of dhikr, and depart from this gathering with that knowledge. Will we do that, brothers? That every second we should remember that Allah, Allah. Our natural habit should be dhikr. So our breath, isn't it natural? If somebody says to me, how many breaths did you take today? Breaths? How many? It's natural. I'm breathing, it's coming in. I'm breathing, inhaling, exhaling. Inhaling, exhaling. I don't know the number. So dhikr should be the same for us. That I'm saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And I'm not counting. I'm not counting. It was just natural. Allahu Akbar. It's the fitrat of the human being, the mu'min, to recite Allah's name. Today, that's why I'm present. For this reason, at your service, my friends, that I see mostly of my jamaat, my colleagues, but there are people here who have come and they will have understood what I'm saying. They're mostly brothers here today have already learned the dhikr of Allah, mashallah. But also warning to them that do dhikr with tariqah, the way the shaykh has explained to you. Otherwise the connection ends. The connection with the teacher ends. Remember this. Now we go to a sheikh, we make him a teacher, somebody's got a sheikh in Hindustan, in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, here or there. Fine, have teacher, there is barakat. But how is your islah, your improvement, correction being taking place ongoing with time? That if your doctor is in Bangladesh and you've got a stomachache here, then how will you get the medicine? How will you get the appointment with the doctor? So islah is essential. Morning and evening we need to show our pulse to our teacher, Allahu Akbar. That my nabs, my pulse, is it right? Is shaitan taking over me? And if I say it's too hard, there's no sheikh here, then this is against the words of the Quran. This is against. If we say there's no sheikh in this country where we are, Allah is saying, I'm giving you ease and you're making difficulties. Pray 2 rakat nafal and say, Allah, give me such a sheikh who can look after me. And then, mashallah, you'll get the doctor in your locality. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So you don't need to travel to find someone. But you got the nafs, no, his name is big, he's a big shot, he's got big titles, this person here, he's nothing, he's got no knowledge. Then all lifelong he can never be improved, he's just a worldly person. Worldly person. He's looking every footstep that he wants a sheikh who is famous in the world. And he loses at the first step, but look at the benefits you're getting from the sheikh who's nearby you. Look how many illnesses have been eliminated and you're preparing yourself for the hereafter. As long as, since the time you had the connection with the sheikh, it's not the fault of the sheikh that you're far. And what have you taken from him? No, I've taken dhikr. Which dhikr have you taken from him? Have you learned dhikr from the kitab? There are books full of that you can take any tasbih and start reciting the tasbih. What have you given to learn from the shaykh? Until the last breath, just like you are desperate for the dhikr of Allah, you are desperate for the company of the shaykh. And nafs and shaitan, we can never escape from their shackles. I tell you the saying of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that we need the shaykh doesn't need us. Remember this. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said, we need the sheikh doesn't need us. And we need the sheikh every second, every moment. And then the nafs and shaitan can attack us anytime. And only the sheikh will make us escape from that trap. No one else. We have to go to the gathering of the sheikh morning and evening. We have to present ourselves. Not that I've graduated from the course and I'm free now. The question never arises. The danger of maut, we should feel that. What is maut? What is hisab for the hereafter? And we need to see, look at the greatest group of people who came to this earth. How much did they fear the accounting of the hereafter? And how much were they scared, afraid of the questions of the hereafter that Allah Ta'ala will ask us? Tell me. The noble companies said, well, we that great Muslims, we think we will succeed easily in the hereafter and we don't need to prepare. Our salahs are good. And my friends, not one of our salahs will come out correct. I tell you in the hereafter, not one. So these are the paths straight that prepare us for thereafter, my friends. If we have worry about death, concern, then these things are here to help us. This is not a game. This is not our choice. It's a must, essential. We need to become serious in our lives. What are we doing? We should start crying. Our sleep should be lost when we start thinking about maut. That maut will grab me. Death will grab me. My life will be extracted. And nafs and shaitan are overwhelming me now. Then he said, no, there's nothing to worry about. There's this doctor, I can take this medicine, I'll call that physician, and he'll cure me, and this and that. And this person, he did this, I've done hajj, I've done this. Nothing will save us. Take everything as negative and put Allah Ta'ala's mercy in front of you. Only Allah's mercy will give us success. We have no deed that can save us in the hereafter. We have no deeds to our name, nothing. That's the mentality we need to have. The amount of means we have to get success, yes, grab them. And the biggest means and tool for the preparation for the hereafter that we can grab hold of today is this same thing that we're discussing. The company of the sheikh, company of the teacher. the company of the Wali of Allah. We need his sohbat, his company. And a person continues to save himself. Allahu Akbar. So brothers, dhikr of Allah. Today I've come here, presented myself to teach you this dhikr. I've come with this intention. May Allah Ta'ala accept my intention. And due to you, brothers, Allah Ta'ala will forgive me as well. And I'll also be recharged the battery of my iman. So this dhikr should always be present in our lives. And those who have learned who are not working out on it, in reality we're not. And there'll be a severe loss in this world and the hereafter for those people. Allah Ta'ala has given us a massive ni'mah, but they're not taking it seriously. They're not the students who are students of dhikr already. They'll get a big punishment. Do dhikr the same way. When a person comes to the shaykh, he should come clean, pure, and he should learn from the teacher. If we want to be saved in the hereafter, if we want to be saved from the punishments of the grave. So dhikr that will... the dhikr that will be taught, that makes the heart alive all the time. That dhikr is not done from the tongue, it's not done by the hand, it's not done by the eyes. Allah Ta'ala has given us an automatic machine ticking over in our bodies. And that machine, Allah Ta'ala says, I charge it up. Soon as the battery is inserted in the body, which is already there, until mort, if we keep on charging it, then it will continue till death. So I've come today to charge the batteries. So if you want to charge the battery, put your hands up. Whoever wants to charge the battery, put your hands up. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Good, good. Allah will so. And who doesn't want to charge the battery, you should depart now. There's no point of you sitting here, no benefit. Yes, because there's no thawab reward. We're not here for reward. We haven't come here with a niyyah for thawab. We have come here to be saved from shaitan. First accept he's our enemy, then come with the reward after will come. So I've come here to charge the battery. Put the battery, charge it up, so that your machine that Allah Ta'ala has put, it needs the battery. So put the battery, the cell, into your machine. But it's a lifelong battery, guaranteed, life guaranteed. There's no expiry date or sell-by date or a drain date. So the battery, when it comes into your machine, then the teacher, when he puts it in, it's a long life battery forever, until death, subhanAllah. And some, subhanAllah, teachers put such a long life battery that even after death, that battery is got the charge and it takes the machine over. And if the Wali Allah puts the battery of love into hearts, do dua that such a battery comes into hearts. So where does shaitan inject the waswasa? Into the heart of the mu'min. So the shaykh puts the battery into the heart to ward off shaitan. He destroys shaitan with his methodology. How can the thinking of shaitan come to us? So inshallah, brothers, we'll do dhikr, we'll remember Allah. After dhikr, we will charge your battery. The battery will be inserted to your heart. It will only take a few seconds to insert the battery. Soon as the battery is inserted, your qalb will start to become alive. Allah, Allah, Allah. This is called the heart becoming alive. SubhanAllah. And then you will need to do this action, dhikr, and then you'll be successful. Then what do you need to do is the tariqah, the method I will explain to you, morning and evening. Morning and evening, just sit down 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And in the day, the rest of the time when you're sitting up, wherever you are, it'll become your natural habit. Allah. Allah. If you're working, not that you have to stop working. No, no, don't stop. You're in tabligh, propagating deen, dars, teaching, learning. But the dhikr of Allah, the nur, the light will be with you all the time. It'll be easy for you to leave sins, and you'll start seeing good dreams, and a beautiful feeling will come into your life. You'll be living in the world, but it's as if you're in Jannah. SubhanAllah, it's a practical life. Take a sheikh who's practical. Take a teacher who's practical. That if I tell you stories and read kitabs, this happened, he was this and that, that's not my principle. My way, my principle is this, that the pious elders, what they did, we should do the same. We should do the same. SubhanAllah, we should follow their footsteps. And this is their lifestyle, these were the paths, and you should do this as well, isn't it? What pain do you have that you'll just listen to our names and our stories in the kitabs and swaying to and fro? We think we cannot reach the heights. They said to us that we've left, but you should also do those actions that we did, say the pious predecessors. So remember, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah is such an action that all of the lifespan is covered. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. We are present in the world so much today. So many diseases, illnesses, problems, issues, obstacles. Everything in this world, the name of the dunya. Dunya, the definition of dunya is difficulty. We are stooped in difficulties, illnesses, problems, hospitals due to children, home, outside, debts in business. Difficulties we're surrounded by. And the cure of everything is one. What is it? Dhikr Allah. The remembrance of Allah. You don't need any recitation. You don't need to go to any magician. No specific duty. If your shaykh has given you the wazifa of Allah's name, recite Allah's name and sit down and keep on asking from Allah. Inshallah, along with the time, all the difficulties will be removed. I'm telling you a practical solution. I'm not telling you theoretical. Practical. I went to my shaykh 50 years ago. I went to my shaykh, my husband. and I was immersed in the dunya, just like today. We have issues and problems around us, alhamdulillah. And I went to my teacher, thought maybe he'll tell me something to recite or some lengthy worship. He taught me one word, Allah. And he said on my heart, he put his finger on my heart, he said, I'm giving you such a treasure that every success in your life will come to you. Don't do anything else, just keep on saying the name of Allah. Allah. Every ease, every difficulty will become easy, all problems will be eliminated, but we should have sabr. Patience, not just now, have sabr. Little bit of patience and be grateful and just start saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Not from your mouth, not from the tongue. Don't waggle the tongue. Where should it be said? In the heart. This is maraqabah. And when this dhikr of Allah becomes very habitual and you're doing dhikr according to the Shaykh's instructions, in that same way, technique, the hadith is present. This is that action that when a person will take him to the rank of ihsan, rank of Islam, that when he does ibadah, when he worships, is this, he feels as if he's seeing Allah. That's the top peak point that this maraqabah will take you to. And it doesn't take long, me, you, all of us, whoever is sat here today, if we make niyyah intention today, we'll do dhikr like this, then alhamdulillah, then we can attain this rank and this station, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah. You're doing ibadah, praying salah, sujood, and alongside that, you'll be seeing Allah. You'll be seeing Allah. And to this point, Allah has guaranteed, and this is the rank of Ihsan, that dhikr of Allah takes a person to that station, to that status. Very easy. But we're wasting our lives, destroying our lives, counting money, speaking nonsense, rubbish, arguments, fighting, wasting time. And a person, he will breathe his last. Last people grab his body and bury him in the soil, and that's it. Is this a life? Tell me, is this a life? What life is this? The insects will come, they'll devour, they will eat our flesh, and insects will eat our body, our flesh, our stomach, and everything, and the body will rot. That's it, end of life. So let's live such a life that gives us benefit, eternal benefit. And if I think still, if I analyze now the life I've lived until today, what benefit have I attained up to now? Tell me, what benefit? Yes, people have said, oh, he wastes time. Children, oh lad, they stand in front of the father, say, he's a waste of time, he's done nothing for me. He said, I did this, I've done this. He says, he's lying, he's done nothing for me. Nothing. Wife will say that he did this for his household, his family. The children will say, you did this for others, and he's lost out. Grave comes in front of him, and he had no worry for the hereafter. He never recited Allah's name. And he just wasted his life in the games of life. Wife, children, other people. Maut came, death came, trap of death came. They picked him up, threw him into the grave, and the insects and the spiders eat him. What benefit of that life was that? Astaghfirullah, is this a life? Is this a life? And there's another life, alhamdulillah. We'll do tawbah now. We'll repent when a human being repents. Forget your previous life. End of story. Wiped clean. The slate is wiped clean. Allah will say, you've come to me, you've done tawbah, and you are like now, as just as if you were born from the womb of your mother. When you do tawbah, you repent. Allah says, I wipe away your sins. Allah, what about my previous sins? Allah says, I don't want to know about your previous sins. I don't know. You don't know who you were yourself. I've made you forget. But I know that you are a beloved person. All the time, Allah will say. He'll evaporate. He'll make those previous sins go away. So will we do tawbah? Allah, what shall we do? 50 years, 60 years, sin, zina, stealing, wasting time. What? Imagine what we did. Allah says, do tawbah today. You've come into my home, the masjid, I promise you, Allah says. I will eliminate all of your sins. All of your sins. And I will make the angels forget. The angels say, Yari is very good, he's pious. MashaAllah, he's a wali Allah. And not only will the sins be forgiven, remember, Allah says, يُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah says, after making your sins be clean, purified, Allah says, good news, اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You'll become my wali, my friend in this world whilst you're living. Imagine the bargain, Allah's striking a great deal with us, but we don't believe this. The Quran is telling us this. Allah's kitab. So will we do this, brothers? Will we do tawbah? Repent, that's it, inshallah. And that's what we'll do. I've come for this reason. I'll do tawbah alongside you. I'll be successful. And I'll put the battery inside the battery with the fadl of Allah. Free batteries, I'll take £10, maybe. Maybe. Yeah? Don't be surprised. Okay, free, no problem. Then 10 times do dua for me, that Allah Ta'ala forgive me, inshallah. You'll do this, won't you? Dua 10 times for me, mashallah. That's it. So you have to do dhikr, and then after that, when we conclude dhikr, the gathering, then after come forward, and inshallah very quickly, I will charge your battery up. And I'll explain to you the method. Then in the life, what you need to do is to spend your life in parallel with the dhikr of Allah. Do you promise? Sincere promise? Inshallah. And then spend your life with the dhikr of Allah. After today, don't live a life without dhikr. Don't. That's it. Beautiful life. Whatever you need to ask from Allah. Whenever a difficulty comes, a problem comes, a worry comes, distress, don't go to any amil, no magician, no nothing, be nothing. There's no greater source of assistance than Allah. Pray to regard salah. For example, you need to go to work, you're upset, I don't know if I'm going to get the job, I'm going to an interview, or there's a problem at work, or in the wife, at home, family. Just do one action. Wake up in the morning, if we get up for salah, pray to regard nafil, and pray the nafil salah, do dua to Allah. I've got problems, difficulties, please eliminate these, solve them. Sit down, 10 minutes, the wazifa I'll give to you. Do the dhikr of Allah's name in your heart, and after that do dua. Inshallah, the doors will open for you. The path will open up for you. That's it, end of story. That's it. Biggest amal, the greatest amal. And your life will become sahal, easy. Mashallah, we've sat here. The people of Burnley have free of charge benefit. You didn't need to go anywhere. You didn't need to burn fuel. You didn't need to do anything. Allah sent you a servant automatically to your doorstep, to your footsteps. They go and teach their hearts my name, Allah said. They're deceased. Remember, we are all dead. We're dead. Whoever has not learned dhikr, if dhikr of Allah is not in a person's heart, he is dead. This is hadith. Hadith. Otherwise, no one's learned dhikr. We are sitting here with big heads. I'm alive. I eat this much food. I do this. I've got power. Dead is that person. Whoever's heart is not doing dhikr of Allah. If he's not doing dhikr, not with the tongue, not with the hand, no trust. No trust. Shaitan, he overwhelms those people who do dhikr. If you do dhikr with your tongue, he'll make you change. For example, you say subhanallah in the morning, you love a woman. You fall in love with a girl. And her name is Rukhsana, for example. And in the morning, instead of Allah's name, you say Rukhsana, Rukhsana, Rukhsana. I can give you proof. Shaitan, he plays games. So don't trust anything. Do one dhikr, close your eyes, and your heart is saying, Allah, Allah. And that shaitan cannot change that. He cannot grab that. That's why he stated, whoever's heart does not have Allah's name, the heart is dead, and that person will wake up dead after death. And today we will take a new lease of life and will become alive. All of us. There was a pious elder. I'll tell you a story so that you have yaqeen. He was a great sheikh. And he was traveling to see another sheikh. He traveled from Baghdad, that there's a sheikh in another town, and I want to go and see him. I want to do ziyarah, because to see another wali of Allah, to see a wali of Allah is an act of worship. That if you travel to see a wali of Allah, because when you see a wali of Allah, you remember Allah. I heard this from the pious elders. So if you go travel to do ziyarah, to see a sheikh, then half the sins are forgiven. Because by seeing them in their appearance, in their gathering, in their company, in their mawjudgi, there's such nur light when you see a wali of Allah, that Allahu Akbar, you remember Allah. And then Allah says, let me remove his sins. That's the proof that this person saw my wali. That becomes a testimony for you in the hereafter. So he was traveling. Okay, a sheikh lives there. I need to travel and see him, a wali of Allah. So he was traveling. When he reached close to the town of the sheikh, he was also a sheikh himself, the one who was traveling to see the other sheikh, and he went to he rested, and he saw a dream. In the dream, he saw that sheikh he's going to see has died, and he woke up shocked. I was sad. I have arrived to his town. I couldn't see him. I couldn't meet him. What do I do now? He thought. He said, okay, I've come to his town, city. Okay, at least let me go to his grave. I can recite Fatiha at his grave. I'll go to his grave, do dua for him. So he then he went to the town, and when he went into the town, there were some people. He said, you know, this sheikh, where's his grave? They said, who? He said, this pious elder. He said, are you mad? He's in his khankah. He hasn't died. He said, eh? So, please tell me the truth. That I'm asking about this person, he's died. He said, he hasn't died, he's alive. You're speaking about somebody else. He said, is it? But I saw this dream. Always my dreams are true. How can this be? You're saying he's alive. He was surprised. So he went to the khankah, and Hazrat was alive. So when he saw him, then he understood. He said, your dream was truthful, and those people were also truthful who replied to you that I'm alive. Here, I'm here. He said, Hazrat, how can that be? That I saw you dead in my dream. He said, but you're alive here now. How can this dream of mine be true? He said, when you saw me in your dream that I am dead, at that time for a few moments, my heart ceased doing dhikr of Allah. I became lazy, ignorant. So Allah Ta'ala put my name in the list of the deceased people. That's when you saw the dream that I've died. Allahu Akbar. This is our hal today. We are physically walking around, but we're not alive. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Today we'll learn the dhikr of Allah. Inshallah, our names will be on the list of those who are alive. May Allah Ta'ala allow our coming, sitting, listening, accept it. And I'm hopeful, inshallah, all you who are here, you will learn dhikr before departing. And inshallah, we'll just take a few minutes, quickly, and you'll be free. And I'll explain to you the method. So let's do some dhikr now. The methodology of doing dhikr, listen please. Alhamdulillah, we'll do a bit of jahr dhikr, loud dhikr. Verses of the Quran will be recited loudly, and repeat after me. And some people don't know the verses. So everyone here, repeat, do wird of these verses of the Quran after me. Great verses of the Quran. After that, we'll do maraqabah, which I explained to you in the heart. We'll remember Allah and we'll do dua. Then after that, the majlis will conclude.
نبيل أمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته وما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنه حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطنا وعبدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب سر قلوبنا على طاعتك يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما ربيان صغيرا یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا کریم ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللہم ربرحمہما کما ربیانی صغیرا اللہم ربرحمہما کما ربیانی صغیرا اللہم ربرحمہما کما ربیانی صغیرا اللہم اغفر لنا ولوالدینا واستاذینا ومشایخنا وجميع المؤمنین والمؤمنات والمسلمین والمسلمات الأحجام منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.